You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
Good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side. It's Friday, everybody. We finally made it to Friday. So, it's Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. We've got a great show for you this morning. We have guests from the Indiana Latino Institute with us this morning. We're going to get to them about all the things going on as it is Hispanic Heritage Month in not only the state of Indiana, but across the country. And we'll talk more about that this morning. Also, some great events coming up this week. And this weekend, as we take a look at the So on the big board this week, we'll start right off with a couple of things I added. Tomorrow, Saturday the 27th, is a free fishing day. So if you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman or a fisher person and you want to get out, it's a bad day to be a fish in the state of Indiana. But there's no need to have a license tomorrow. It's free fishing day. Trying to promote that. Still, like, there are things that apply, however, so you might want to check into that before you just start going to a lake and just, you know, start taking all the fish out. But that is a free fishing day. And then Sunday is free state park admission this weekend. So that's not like Eagle Creek Park, because that's a municipal park. But if you're going out to, let's say, Turkey Run or maybe one of the great parks around the state, it's a free admission day on Sunday the 28th. Now, let's get into what is actually on the big board here. The Chapel Hill Lions Club has their monthly sale tomorrow on Saturday at 240 North High School Road. That goes from 9 a.m. to noon. Claremont Lions Club, they have a big event on October 4th, which is their movie night, and they will be playing Into the Spider-Verse. So if you're a Spider-Man fan, they'll be doing that October 4th at their Lions Club Park. Gates will open at 6 p.m. The movie will be at dusk. And then the Clear Note Church here on the west side is hosting a hay day tomorrow. So they'll have hay rides and games and other things at 9101 West 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. On Saturday. Of course, we have fall break coming up October 18th through November 2nd. Nobody's looking forward to that, I can tell you, as that is going on. WBDG Alumni Day is October 11th from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then, of course, the game tonight, the Ben Davis Giants travel to Lawrence North for a 7 o'clock kick against the 6th-rated Wildcats. Pregame will start at 6 p.m. tonight right here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all righty. Let's get right into it as we have a big show for you this morning here on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm John Easter. If you're just joining us, we have guests from the Indiana Latino Institute. Let's meet our guests here this morning because the Indiana Latino Institute does such great things for the Hispanic, Latino, Latinx community here in Indianapolis. And joining us this morning is the Senior Director of Education Policy, Dr. Danny Mendez, as we'll bring you guys in. Welcome this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
And also Brenda Gutierrez with us this morning. She is the education specialist for South and Central Indiana. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here today.
And as always, we have our invisible studio audience here with us. So we have to, you know, welcome. But first of all, the Indiana Latino Institute, just such a great organization that does so much for the community here in Indianapolis. And this is a big month for you guys and what you do. A lot of programming this month. You have a lot of programming year round. But a lot of programming this month, which is dedicated to Hispanic Heritage Month. And just a little bit about Hispanic Heritage Month. It started in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week and then was expanded in 1988 to a month. And a lot of people wonder, why does it start on the 15th and go to the 15th? So part of that reason is a lot of the Hispanic countries in Central and South America have Independence Days and days during this time of year. So a lot of chance to celebrate heritage and culture this month, but you guys just have a lot of programming this month. So how busy is it for the Indiana Latino Institute during Hispanic Heritage Month?
Well, we do have quite a bit of programming, you know, for our everyday throughout the year programming. But yes, when we get into Hispanic Heritage Month, we really start gearing up for our annual luncheon, which really brings together community leaders, elected officials, exemplary leaders from across the state, and corporate stakeholders to celebrate the contributions of the Latino community, really, not only here in Indianapolis, but in Indiana and the United States as a whole.
Now, how did you get, we always ask as we start our show for you guys to introduce yourselves. So how did you get to the Indiana Latino Institute? What's your background?
I love this question. So I am actually from California originally, moved to Wayne Township actually in middle school. So I've been here ever since. I also taught at Rhodes Elementary for about 6 years. Yes, go Rhodes. So after those 6 years, I decided to transition in my career and found that my teaching skills like contributed really well with the job at Indiana Latino Institute. And so I've been here for about a year and a couple of months now. So really excited to work for this amazing organization. But Wayne, I will forever be proud to be a Wayne Township student.
We are Wayne. So you mentioned you made that transition. What's that been like for you?
It's been interesting. I think definitely in the beginning, it was a little bit difficult to see myself outside of a teacher. Mm-hmm. But I have been really fortunate to work with some really amazing people who have encouraged those leadership skills that I developed as a teacher and to see how I can contribute to ILI.
So are you a Ben Davis grad?
I went to Ben Davis University.
BDU. Yeah. So you are, BDU grad.
Yes, BDU grad.
That's awesome. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Dr. Mendez.
Yeah, so I've had a path that's interesting, long career. You know, I started out a long time ago when I was young, actually graduating college. I was fortunate enough to be appointed by Governor O'Bannon, for those of you old enough to remember Governor O'Bannon. Yeah. And I was appointed to the Indiana Commission on Hispanic Latino Affairs. I was really young, very, very young at that time. But it was a great experience. Got to work on a lot of really important issues across the state of Indiana. But then I went on to become a teacher, a longtime principal at the elementary, middle, high school levels, and loved it. Had an amazing career in education. And most of my leadership in schools actually were high minority populations, high Latino populations, high English learner populations. In fact, one of my schools was 57% English learners.
Wow.
Another one was 40% English learners. So I've had a lot of different experiences that kind of really showed the unique challenges and perspectives, but also the amazing successes you can have and also the amazing contributions of the different communities that make up the fabric of Indianapolis and Indiana. And then my paths with just changed course just here in the last couple of years and wanted to kind of get back to some of that work that I was started when I was younger. And so this was a really natural fit. So now I work specifically on, not specifically, I do a lot of different things, but as the senior director of education policy, I deal with state legislators. I deal with a lot of strategic partnerships with universities and K-12 organizations, as well as other nonprofits, and work and help consult all our other programs that I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about here soon. But really getting back into the work I started about 20-something years ago.
Dr. Danny Mendez and Brenda Gutierrez joining us here on Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. We're talking about the Indiana Latino Institute. And for those people who aren't really familiar with ILI, what is the Indiana Latino Institute?
So we are a non-for-profit organization. We're actually based in Indianapolis, but we service the whole state of Indiana. And we do a couple of things. The main thing is that we want to increase Latino educational attainment and workforce development. And we do that in a couple of different ways. We do that by offering presentations at the schools. Also, we have family events where we really get to talk to the parents and different things like that. And part of what I do in my team is do the one-on-one mentoring sessions with the students. And I'll let Danny talk about kind of the other roles at ILI.
Sure, yeah. So as Brenda was saying, she's part of the College Access Program that focuses on high school students across the state. So we are actually a statewide organization. So while we're located here in Indianapolis, we work with students and universities and organizations all over the state. So we have our College Access Program, again, that focuses on 9 through 12. We also have a College Success Program that's mentoring and coaching for college students wanting to be successful. I do want to highlight real quick, I should have mentioned, that College Access Program that Brenda is a specialist for, any student in that, our graduation rate of those students, I believe, is around 98%. It's off the charts.
Wow.
So kids who do that are very successful. Then again, we have our College Success Program. We have the same type of setup for that for college students. We have a workforce development program that works, tries to get internships and job placement. We have a leadership circle where we take young professionals out that are already work in the workforce and really train them up on a 2-year cohort to train up their leadership skills and produce, you know, future leaders. We also have a middle school pilot program that's going to be similar to our College Access Program, but for middle school students. I was also a middle school leader in there, and they could use that too, that mentoring. And then we have my role as which is advocacy and policy. So it's not just policy; it's really advocating for what's good for all Hoosiers, really. And my department of one really helps kind of consult all our programs and work on things and anything that can help each of those departments thrive and be successful in impacting the community.
Well, if you have a department of one, yeah, you know, your staff meetings are short.
They are incredibly short, but weirdly, they're complex too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right. It's like, I disagree with myself on that. This is Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. And today we have the Indiana Latino Institute. Dr. Danny Mendez and Brenda Gutierrez joining us here on the show this morning, if you're just joining us. Before we dive kind of too far in, I did see some statistics on the website, which I thought were interesting, and some people may not know this, that Latino students make up the largest minority population in the state of Indiana, 14.63%, which is, you know, a number that I did not know, and certainly that has probably changed since I was a student back when dinosaurs walked the earth. The going to college rate is 41.7%. And 28.6% of Latino adults have a college degree. And also, this was something I just saw this morning, after English, now this one may make more sense to people, after English, Spanish is the most spoken language in the United States of America, which, you know, is something to think about as we go through, you know, our the times that we live in right now. We have a lot of students in our state that are of Hispanic descent, Latino descent as well. And people may not realize just what a large population it is, but I think people also, and I asked this same question last year, it's important to remember that it's not like a monolith. There are so many different cultures within the Latino, Hispanic, Latinx community. And how is that, I don't want to say a challenge, but what are some of the opportunities, we'll put it that way, in dealing with all the different cultures that are within the community from the ILI's perspective?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. You're right, it's not a monolith. And, you know, oftentimes when we think of big, unique challenges or concepts such as this, it's easier for us in our minds to make things as one group. But no, it absolutely, it's a diverse array of cultures, backgrounds, histories. And, you know, I think that's one of the unique things about our organization is we've been able to navigate all of that. And really, when you come from the philosophy of you are trying to provide support and help, it makes you nimble. It makes you able to adapt to the needs of different communities. You know, one of the things I'm doing right now is I've been driving around the state to other Latino-serving organizations in different parts of the states. And they have different services and programs that are meeting the needs of those specific communities, which is really neat. It's really shows just how adept and how nimble those organizations are, really trying to meet the specific need of those communities. Because the growth in the Latino population in Indiana, you know, lots of times people think that's just an urban population, and they couldn't be farther from the truth. Mm-hmm. If you go down to Seymour, Indiana, or up to Frankfort, Indiana, you'll see population shifts to 40 or 50%, you know, almost Latino populations. And so the rural areas have grown in those as well. So, and we can help provide the infrastructure and guidance on some of those areas to help make that a really smooth transition for everyone. for the schools, for the students, for the families, and that's really what our focus is. But again, to do that, you have to be nimble and ready to adapt to the needs of those specific communities.
And you know, I don't think people understand, if somebody comes from Argentina, let's say, versus Mexico, and they came to this country, they've had a different journey to get here even. And so many of the things we get caught up in, and I know I'm going to try to stay out of the political situation.
Sure.
When you talk about advocating at the state level, what kinds of things do you run into at the state level as you try to advocate for policy?
That's a great question. And, you know, that is one of those things that is it's a delicate needle to thread. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we really try and do is really not focus on the politics of anything, whether it's state level or national level. What we try and focus on is human decency, on dignity, on what's going to help people thrive, what's going to help their community thrive, and what's going to help Indiana thrive. And oftentimes, those are the same things mm-hmm. and the same needs. And so if we can get away from rhetoric and keep it about the actual specifics on how this will help the economy or how this will help a school system or how this will help the neighborhood and the communities, I think people are much more able to listen and process that, and we're usually able to move forward in a really positive way. So that is one of the things I have to navigate oftentimes, but really proud of the work that we've been able to do to get that done.
So, I mean, these are your neighbors, and
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, these are people you see in the community, and they're a lot of times they're just wanting the same things everybody else wants.
Absolutely.
And I think it helps if you think of it from that perspective. Again, leaving the politics, which is very mm-hmm. hard these days,
sure.
to leave the politics out. But it is something that certainly I know that you guys are working with, and I guess too, from a perspective of the programming and things, are you seeing maybe a difference in people coming out for your programming than maybe you saw last year or maybe in the past?
Yeah. So I think we've definitely seen that shift, especially for bigger events. So we tend to like have events like at schools, like especially after school for the parents, just like educate them more about like the education system. And we have seen a drop on some of that attendance. So groups that I previously have been working with for the past year, you know, we've had to cancel those events or we've had less attendance in those. But on our day-to-day, we're still able to provide the service that we are here to provide. So going into the schools, we're still seeing a lot of students, or we're a lot at college and career fairs. So we see a lot of students there and, you know, definitely still working with our one-on-one mentoring. And since that's all through Zoom, we still have a lot of students show up and receive the help that they need to receive.
Yeah, because, you know, 5 years ago, we were dealing with the pandemic and everything. So Zoom is still around as we deal with some of these things as well. This is, by the way, Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. And next year, I was looking, will be the 25th anniversary of the Indiana Latino Institute. It was founded in 2001. So I know, you know, we've talked about some of the college and career programming that you do, but we've kind of looked at it from way in the sky. So kind of getting down into what you do, what happens if I go to, let's say, college fair and you're there, what can we expect? What kind of services do you provide?
Sure. So we do a lot of things, like I mentioned, that one-on-one mentoring, and we're really there just to help with whatever they need in their college application process. So helping them decide where they want to go, what they want to study, how they're going to pay for school, talking them through a lot of that stuff. And a lot of times that means also talking with the parents, especially if they have parents who are coming from a different country, they don't necessarily understand the educational system here. And one of the other really great things that we do is we do provide some scholarships. So we have two scholarships that will open up in November. We have the Alivio Medical Scholarship, which is for students who are interested in the medical field, and that is for $1,500. And then we have our Academic Scholarship, which is from $1,000 to $5,000 for a 2.7 GPA and proof of community service. So that's some of the things that we do, and we talk a lot with the students about just making sure that they have a plan and that they start early enough in that planning.
So if I'm a student here at Ben Davis and I'm listening to this, How can they get involved in the programming that you provide?
So they can actually apply directly through our website for our College Access. Sorry, it's called College Prep Program online at the IndianaLatinoInstitute.org. And we will reach out to them on booking a meeting with us. But not only that, you guys should also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, because we definitely offer some other things. Like this summer, we had the opportunity of bringing in over 13 professionals around Indianapolis to come speak to the students. We offered some community service hours, and we're planning on offering some more this fall. So definitely follow us and stay connected with the Indiana Latino Institute.
And this is Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. I know FAFSA just opened, or is opening, opening on October 1st. I'm trying to get us to October. Something about fall break coming up. But FAFSA opens up on October 1st in every year. There, I know we've had Bill Wozniak from InvestEd Indiana on this show so many times, and every year we bring him back, and we do that because there are always so many changes with FAFSA and things, and that must be difficult for somebody that may or may not speak English if you're a parent trying to kind of navigate all this stuff. So how do you stay up on all the changes and everything so that you can communicate that with those parents and those students?
So we are actually also required to kind of go through some of the trainings through the Commission of Higher Education. So every year we always do a refresher. And since you mentioned FAFSA, on October 4th, we are having a FAFSA open house at the Indiana Latino Institute offices downtown. It will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you are more than welcome to register for the event on our website or...
Or
you could actually walk in the day of, and we will try to serve as many people as possible. We're going to have a couple of people from Commission of Higher Education there also helping, and I believe InvestEd will also be there. So we're able to provide English, Spanish support. So definitely if you need some help, check us out and join us on October 4th.
Well, and I know you have your college fairs coming up as well. What is it, South Bend, Indy and Evansville in November?
Yeah, our Ed Summit, yeah. College and Career Fairs. Those are, you just named the places. We've got one, the Indianapolis one will be located at the Fishers Arena.
Yeah.
And that's a great opportunity for students to come out. I think we might be closing our two of them, I think, are almost at capacity already. I think we're still trying to fill our one in Evansville. We'll have a great turnout of different colleges there. We'll have some workforce people there as well, different businesses and corporations. So yeah, we're excited about that. We're still looking for some volunteers out there to help us work those events. So if you're interested in helping work those events, we would love to have you just reach out to us at the Indiana Latino Institute.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you're all over the state, yeah. And you were saying you have a department of one. You have a department of one?
No, we are actually a department of four, five.
Still, though, that is a huge area to cover when you when you think of it. I mean, Indiana isn't the largest state in the union, but certainly if you drive north to south, you're in Indiana for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you cover the entire state being based in Indianapolis? Is that a challenge?
That's a great question. What we do is to try to be very strategic with our time. So if I know, for example, if I'm going down to Evansville, I'll try to get three or four presentations lined up on the same day or within the same 2 days. That way I only have to drive down there once. But, you know, we try to hit as many schools with as many Latino students as possible. But of course, if there's smaller schools who want us to come out, we always try to accommodate, whether that be in person or doing some virtual presentations, but mostly in person.
Well, I know I-69 has helped, but still trying to get to Evansville. It is a long drive down to Evansville, and a great city and lots to do down there, but it is a long way down there and across the state. And if you're going, you know, South Bend to Evansville, that is a very long way. So yes, you guys are covering the entire state. Once again, we're talking with Dr. Danny Mendez and Brenda Gutierrez from the Indiana Latino Institute. And all the organization, or all that organization does for the state and for the community. Coming up, you also have the fundraising lunch, which I know is a huge event for you guys every day. I know I was kind of going back and forth trying to figure out dates to do the show, and it was Like, we could do it on the 20th. Well, we could do it the 7th. No, we can't do it the 17th because we're busy. So right. Coming up, it is October 17th.
Yes, October 17th. And again, that is it's a great event. There'll be music. There'll be festivities, performances. We will have a keynote speaker, Lori Hernandez, who, let me make sure I don't forget any of this, and she was the Olympic gold medalist and New York Times bestselling author, NBC analyst, and she brings inspiration excellence to the stage, so she'll be a great keynote speaker. But again, we'll have community leaders there, exemplary leaders from around the state and different organizations, elected officials, corporate stakeholders. It'll be a great event. It's a great fundraiser. It helps, you know, obviously helps organizations, nonprofits like ours. We have to have sponsorships. We have to have grants to keep doing the work that we do. And I will tell you, in these times, nonprofits are, they are vital to fill in the gaps that we have. And those gaps seem to be growing. And I came from a policy meeting in Chicago just a couple days ago filled with nonprofits. And the workload is heavy to help the communities out there in need. But also, you know, you need the funds to be able to do that. So these fundraisers are really important. We hope there's corporate sponsors out there and that are listening and say, hey, we want to be a part of helping that because, you know, we need to do that. And while it's never easy to go out there and ask for money, hey, we think that the work we do is worth it. It's worth it for the whole community, all the Hoosiers in Indiana. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Believe it or not, we've only got about 3 minutes left in the show. It goes so fast. Yeah. Every time we get on a huge topic like this, which the Indiana Latino Institute is. And have we missed anything or any gaps that we can fill in here?
You know, I don't think so. I think we just really appreciate being here and getting to take part on your great show. And we love the work that we do. This work is important for all Hoosiers. It's important for all Americans. It doesn't, you know, putting those lenses aside that we talked about before, putting any politics aside, this is about what's best for your neighbor, what's best for your community. And we love the work that we do. And we know that we make a positive impact. And we hope that everybody out there wants to be a part of that.
Well, and two, again, without getting too far into politics, there are very welcoming Hoosiers. Absolutely. And that understand that the community is only, and this is just me talking, the community is only benefits from having diversity and having different cultures. And if you think about like just what you eat in a week and all the different foods, and those came from somewhere.
That's right.
You know, and it's important to remember that culture is just amazing. And you know, again, I'm not going to dive too deep in because we could have a whole other show about all of that. But the important thing is that there are young people out there who and also adults who need these services. So the tremendous service that your organization provides is definitely appreciated. So
thank you
for all you guys do. How can people get in touch with the Indiana Latino Institute?
So you can find us on our website at indianalatinoinstitute.org, or for any other questions, you guys can feel free to give us a call at 317-472-1055. Also follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. Yeah. You are out there on social media, and it's not, you know, I always hate that when you have an organization that has social media and then you go to their social media and they haven't updated it since like, you know, 2022. And you're like, I just need it. I know you're still active, but you know, we were talking in here, we could hire somebody for this school to do social media full time because there's so much going on. There's so many gaps that need to be filled that it's hard to stay on top of everything, but you guys do a tremendous job with your social media. And it, you know, I was explaining this to my class, there are different populations on different social media platforms. You know, if it's Facebook, you're dealing with a totally different audience than TikTok. So we try to hit those things.
Although I hear people are going back to Facebook because it's retro. The kids now think it's like retro now. So that's what I'm hearing, but I don't know.
Well, I know for us, we get our alums on Facebook and Twitter, and then kind of our students are more on TikTok and Instagram and all those things. So I don't do those two very well. I'm pretty good on Twitter and Facebook, but anything else before we go?
No, thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure, and maybe we'll be back again.
Absolutely. Every year. Let's do it. Let's just pencil it in next year.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. And next week we'll be talking about the B&O Trail, which is out here on the west side. A lot pretty exciting. They have a ribbon cutting coming up for that. But we'll talk about that next week. And thank you again for listening to Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.